Okay, I got a praise report. Before I came down here, me and Connie, before we came down here, I knew this guy. There was a guy up home, and I had known him for quite a while. And he got on meth, and he was really, really carried away. And I just kept praying for him and praying for him and believing for his salvation and believing for his salvation. And finally one day, I got a really strong release in my spirit that said, it's done. So I didn't go there much anymore. I still would pray for him once in a while when I thought about him. Thank God for his salvation. Well, he showed up on Facebook. This is 6 years later. He showed up on Facebook. And he was clean. And we stayed in touch on Facebook. And then one day I said, you know, he was dressed up pretty nice in a suit. And I said, you know, you look like a preacher. He said, I am one. God is good. Don't give up. Do not give up. It may look absolutely impossible, but don't give up when you're praying for somebody's salvation. God can do amazing things if we'll just pray. He can do absolutely wonderful things. I think one of the most amazing things I've ever seen was, remember during the 2016 election, Kenneth Copeland called everybody to come into agreement in prayer at the same time. He said, come into agreement in prayer at the same time. And the election was going all Hillary, and Trump was way down here. When the church came into agreement in prayer, that line just went completely like that. At that time, that was one of the most amazing things I ever seen. Yeah, because they were cheating, and they still lost. God does great, amazing things for us. So we're going to talk about the God kind of faith today. We've talked about the God kind of faith before. Open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. Now, there's two things that we need to notice about God's kind of faith. First, a man believes with his heart. Second, he believes with his words. Remember when you got born again, you believed in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and then you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? I mean, that's how you believe with your words. Believed in your heart, and then you confessed what you believed with your mouth. It's not just enough to believe in your heart. In order to get God to work for you, you must believe with your words also. There's a lot of people that think just believing in their heart is enough. And that's just not the way Jesus laid it out for us. If we could just believe with our heart, then we wouldn't have to say anything. If that's the way it worked, we wouldn't even have to say anything to get born again. We could just believe with our heart. But also, we have to believe with our mouth. We have to make a confession. Jesus said, whosoever shall say and shall not doubt in his heart, Mark chapter 11, verse 23, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. This is the unalterable law of faith. This cannot change. What you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, That's the law of faith. And here's the thing. I've run into a lot of people that went to church for a long time, and they weren't sure they were going to heaven. Because they didn't have what they believed on rock solid faith. They weren't believing on the rock, on Jesus. So, you know, there's a lot of people that have been going to church for 20, 30 years that are hoping they're going to get to heaven. There are pastors, a friend of mine, he was a good pastor, and he was dealing with a couple of ladies. One in particular was a really good friend of mine, and she had been going to the Methodist church forever. And then she got curious about some things, so she started asking my pastor friend some questions. So one day they were out there, and they finally said, "Who's right here? You or the Methodist preacher?" He said, "Well, go down there and ask him if he knows for sure he's going to heaven." So they went down there and asked him, "Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven?" He said, "Well, nobody knows that." They went running right back up to him, and they got born again, and that was the end of the conversation. See how important it is to believe what you read instead of read what you believe? See, people try to make the Word of God fit their lifestyle instead of making their lifestyle fit the Word of God. They're easy to locate. You run into people that say, "Well, it's okay to support abortion." They're trying to make the Word of God fit their lifestyle. It irritates me when I see preachers marching in abortion parades. They don't like to call it that, but that's what it is. When I see them wearing pink hats, they're trying to say, "Well, God is good. We'll keep this little part of our life, and it'll be okay." The gay pastor movement needs to come to an end. I want you to look at Mark chapter 11, verse 12. "That on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it." Go down to verse 20. It says, "In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." The first thing I want you to look at is that part where Peter had to remind Jesus of that fig tree. Jesus, you don't ever find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus talking about that fig tree. After he cursed it, he went about his business. It doesn't ever talk about anywhere in there about him wondering how that fig tree was doing. It doesn't ever talk in there of him asking any disciples to go check on that fig tree. He just said what he meant, and then he went about his business. Now here's the thing. Some of the coolest prayer miracles I've ever been a part of is it was a joint effort, a lot of people praying. But these people I've never laid eyes on. You know, people actually living through terrible, terrible circumstances. But I never laid eyes on them. I never seen them. I wasn't reminded of them all the time. See, it's really easy to have faith when you don't have to look at a circumstance, when you don't have to feel a circumstance. See, it's quite another thing to operate in faith when you see the circumstance in front of your eyes every single day, when you're reminded of that circumstance all the time. You know, when you feel that circumstance in your body all the time. Now it's a whole different playing field. See why it's so important to have people that you can trust in your inner circle? People that will actually get in there and stand in faith with you and believe with you. That's very important. But Jesus didn't worry about that anymore. He just said it and that fig tree was gone. Now let's look at this part here where it says, have faith in God. Literally, have the faith of God. Greek scholars tell us that this should be translated, have the God kind of faith. Jesus demonstrated that he had the God kind of faith. While he was afar off, he saw that the fig tree had leaves, but as he approached it looking for fruit, he saw that it was barren. Some have questioned why Jesus looked for figs on this tree when it was not time for them to be ripe. It was not their season. However, in that country, trees do retain their leaves sometimes. They usually have figs also. But finding no fruit on that tree, Jesus said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. The next day, they found that that tree was barren. It was gone. It was dried up from the roots. But literally, they're telling us to have the God kind of faith. When I started looking at that, I thought, man, that is a big assignment. How can we have that kind of faith? I thought that's got to be almost impossible. He's telling us to have this super faith. That's not what that means. The God kind of faith is this faith that says something. It says what it believes. Jesus demonstrated. God demonstrated it. He said in the beginning, let there be light. He said the desired result. That's all we have to do. We don't have to be a superhuman in faith. We don't have to be anything special. You don't have to be part of the fivefold. All you have to be is a believer. Any believer can change his little world with the words of his mouth. God told Joshua to meditate on his word day and night. He didn't tell him to do that as a memorization exercise. He didn't say, I want to see how many scriptures you can memorize. He said, he didn't say, I want to see if you can remember all the books in the Bible in order. You know, people have majored on some really minor things, and they minored on some real major things. I remember I've ran into people that had the books of the Bible memorized in order. Some of them I ran into had the lineage of Jesus memorized. Well, that's cool, I guess. Does that strike faith in your heart? No? What does strike faith in your heart? The words of Jesus when he's talking about you, when he's talking to you, when he's talking about who he is in you, who you are in him. That strikes faith in your heart. And Jesus actually showed us how to operate in faith. First thing we have to do is get something in our heart. So how do we do that? Well, we find it in the Bible and we meditate on it. You know, sometimes it takes us a little while to become convinced of what we've read in the Bible. You know, a lot of people don't just believe something they read in the Bible just because it's there. They may say, okay, that's the Word of God and that's true, but remember, the same way Abraham ran around meditating on what God said to him, and pretty soon he became fully persuaded in his heart. He had to meditate on that promise for a long time. Before he got that promise. But he got it. And he made several mistakes on the way to that promise. See, here's the thing. A lot of people try to hold themselves up to a perfect standard that they can't, that they cannot measure up to. You have to realize that you are under grace. You do have to participate in this thing, but if you think you're going to adhere to anything like perfection, you're crazy. Jesus is the only one that could walk this walk perfectly. In verse 22, after telling his disciples to have the God kind of faith, Jesus went on to explain in verse 23 what this meant. The God kind of faith is a kind of faith in which a man believes with his heart and says with his mouth that which he believes in his heart, and it comes to pass. That's how your salvation came to pass. Somebody told you that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and that God raised him back to life. And if you ask him to come into your heart and be your Lord and confess him to be Lord, you shall be saved. The minute you did that, you were saved. Boom. That's 100% true. You were saved the minute you did that. But you're not done being saved. Remember, we got to remember that word salvation. It contains everything that a man needs. Salvation means protection, too. Deliverance. Providence. There's a lot of things tied to salvation. Are you done being delivered? I hope not. Are you done being protected? I hope not. Are you done being provided for? I hope not. Are you done being healed? Then you are being saved. And you will be saved when you come face to face with Jesus and he completes your redemption. See, if people would just spend a little bit of time rightfully dividing the word of truth instead of drawing a line in the sand, saying, you got to work out your salvation. No, once saved, all saved, by God. I'm saved. Period. That's all there is to it. I told this to a Catholic one time. And he looked at me and he said, "Do you know how Catholic that sounds?" I said, "Do you know how Christian that sounds?" Catholics didn't come up with that. The Baptists didn't come up with that. We didn't come up with that. Jesus came up with that. Salvation in his wings. Jesus showed that he had that kind of faith. He believed that what he said would come to pass. He said to the tree, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." This is the kind of faith that spoke the world into existence. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Says, "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." So how did he do that? God believed that what he said would come to pass. He spoke that word, and there was an earth. He spoke into existence the vegetable kingdom. He spoke into existence the animal kingdom. He spoke into existence absolutely everything that he desired. And then Jesus gave us the recipe. He told us how to speak things into our life. Here's the deal. You're going to speak something into your life one way or the other. We found out that you're the sower, and the sower sows the word. Now you're going to be sowing seed, whether you sow God's word or not, you're going to be sowing seed. You're going to be speaking your reality into existence. We watch people do it all the time. We watch people say, "Well, you know, my grandpa died of cancer when he was 50. My dad died of cancer when he was 50. I'm going to have cancer by the time I'm 50. What are they doing? They're speaking their reality into existence. And it's a reality that they don't want anything to do with. You can take the Word of God and speak a new reality into your life. You're going to create your own reality one way or the other. You know, it's more up to you than it is to God, the quality of your life. Did you know that? God, he said, as far as he's concerned, he has already freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. What are you going to do with it? A lot of people sit there and say, "Oh, praise God, I'll have everything I need when I get to heaven." What do you need in heaven? Do you need healing? Do you need money? What do you need? Everything you're going to need in life, you're going to have to receive it down here. You see that? Any healing you're going to have to get it down here. Any provision you're going to get, you're going to have to get it down here. This is where we need it. This is where we need to be speaking the God kind of faith. Literally, you're taking his word and putting it forth into the atmosphere, and you're calling things that aren't as though they are. Some people just get plumb crazy when you talk to them, like the religious people. That's that name it and claim it stuff. There you go. You guys are always naming and claiming it. Well, how did you get born again? You spoke it forth. You said something with your mouth, hopefully. If you didn't say something with your mouth, then we need to talk and you need to get born again. Yes, we have to speak our reality into existence. What kind of reality do you want? It can be just as glorious as you want it to be. Has anybody imagined having all the things that God has freely given us, actually receiving them? We haven't even we haven't even spent one little small piggy bank of what He's freely given us. I mean, we haven't even scratched the surface. Jesus told us that, the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. Jesus demonstrated the God kind of faith to His disciples. Then He told them that they too had that kind of faith. The faith that a man believes with his heart, says with his mouth what he believes, and it comes to pass. Some people may say, well, I want that kind of faith. I don't have that kind of faith. You do too. You do too. You don't need to pray for faith. You already have it. You don't have to fast for faith. You've already got it. Look at Romans chapter 12. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Paul wrote this to believers. Says to every man that is among you. It was not written to sinners. It was written to Christians. God has already given you the measure of faith. We stir that faith up with the words of Christ. When we get His words in us, that stirs the faith inside of us. Especially when you see the things that Jesus did by grace. The things that He did by grace to you. That causes great faith to happen in your heart. And then you'll step forward in faith like that. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 7. He addressed this letter to all that be in Rome, beloved of God and called to be saints. And then he tells them that God has given to every man the measure of faith. You've been given the measure of faith. You've got faith. You already have it. You need to feed that faith. You feed that faith with God's Word. See, God is the source of everything. God is the source of faith. God and His Word is the fuel to what He's given you. You might say, the more His Word that you get into you, the more lit up you get. That's building that faith inside of you, that faith muscle inside of you. And pretty soon, you'll operate in faith. You'll say things that God says about you. Let's stop right there because we're not going to get... There's a lot of notes in there. But the thing about God and Jesus and the Word of Faith is we got to get it in our hearts and then we got to confess with our mouth what we believe. That's the perfect recipe to get the things that you need. It's not going to work, though, if you come in here and pray the prayer of faith, say the right things, and then go out that door and change your confession and start speaking the way the world talks about you. It's great to come in, pray the prayer of faith that your financial needs will be met. But if you go out that door and you start talking about how broke you are, guess what? You're going to stay broke. Come in here and pray for healing in your body. That's great, but your confession needs to be, by His stripes, I was healed. You can't go out that door and start talking about how sick you are, how the cancer is tearing you up. You have to talk about how He has healed you. Praying for protection is great, getting the word of faith. But when you go out that door, you cannot go out there and start talking about how afraid you are. You need to stop claiming the devil's words for your own life. You need to just take his words as your fuel for faith, and that's your only answer. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for showing us how to operate in faith. You told us that the just shall live by faith. And thank God you gave us the directions. Thank you for giving us easy step-by-step directions on how to operate in faith. You wrote them out for us. You showed us how to build faith in our hearts. Then you showed us how to express that faith and cause things to change in this world and change in our lives. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.